Cold mornings, frosty windows. Yep, it's that time of year. So treat yourself and start your day with a cup of fresh roasted Sterling Roastery coffee, sourced from around the world and roasted multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. It's the kind of warm-up every sports fan deserves this holiday season. And right now, you can win one of three $50 Sterling gift cards, perfect for gifting or building your own winning lineup of Java in the morning. Enter today at sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways so you can wake up, warm up, and Sterling up this holiday season. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
125 defining moments, one legendary league. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and a great book is out right now, NFL Moments, 125 Icons and Stories That Define the NFL. It's a definitive visual history of the National Football League, packed with iconic images and untold stories behind the game's biggest plays and its greatest players. From the early legends like Red Grange to today's stars like Patrick Mahomes, this book is a touchdown for fans who crave more than just stories. So give your football bookshelf a Hall of Fame upgrade or snag a holiday gift for that NFL history buff on your shopping list. Pick up NFL Moments, available now at your favorite bookseller.
This is Amy Trask, former CEO of the Raiders, current football analyst for That Other Pregame Show on CBS Sports Network, and co-host of What the Football with Susie Schuster. You're listening to the official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
Welcome to the official Football Learning Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ken Crippen, and I'm the founder and lead instructor at the Football Learning Academy, an online school teaching pro football history. To learn more about the Football Learning Academy, go to our website at www.football-learning-academy.com. Not only will you find links to our social media channels and a listing of all podcast episodes, but you'll find other fascinating interviews and classes. And an important note, a portion of all proceeds generated at the Football Learning Academy go to help retired players in need. That website again is www.football-learning-academy.com. Today we have two very special guests to the show, Todd Marinovich and Lizzie Wright. Todd was a former first-round draft pick with the Oakland Raiders back in 1991. Todd and Lizzie just published Todd's memoirs titled Marinovich, Outside the Lines in Football, Art, and Addiction, which can be purchased at marinovichbook.com. In this memoir, Todd is very open about the struggles that he faced with substance abuse over the years, and we dove into those details in this episode. As far as Lizzie Wright, our longtime listeners will remember her husband, Steve Wright, as a guest in season one of our podcast. She co-authored Steve's book as well, which was titled Aggressively Human. This is a powerful book, and we have an insightful episode that you don't want to miss. So let's get to our interview with Todd Marinovich and Lizzie Wright. Thank you, Todd and Lizzie, for joining us here to talk about your new book, Marinovich, Outside the Lines in Football, Art, and Addiction. How are both of you doing today?
Doing well. Thank you for having us, Ken.
Hi, Ken. Great to be here. And it's great to connect with you again after you had interviewed my husband.
Yeah. I mean, I was definitely looking forward to it. I knew that your husband had a great book. I knew this was going to be a great book, and it definitely did not disappoint. I enjoyed reading it. What made you want to write this book and why now?
It's all about the timing of it. It just, you know, really worked out well for me. I was in a good place. I just moved to Hawaii and doing art, some coaching, and like I try to get to, it was the Raider reunion a few years. I try to go every year, and I ran into Steve, Lizzie's husband, and they had just finished theirs, and Steve was like, you should do it, Todd. And people have said that throughout my life, it was just the timing wasn't right. And so it just really clicked with Lizzie because of Steve, and I would trust Steve with my life. And so it really helped our relationship and helped the whole writing process because I completely trusted her and she did an amazing job.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that. The book was definitely very well written, told a great story, and you definitely opened up. You were very raw in the stories that you were telling. So, were there any stories that were particularly difficult to write in this book?
Yeah, well, there were, you know what? It's a it's not on my list to things to do during an ordinary day is to revisit some uncomfortable experiences, but I felt, and I had been doing it in recovery and trying to work on issues, and I'm a work in progress, Ken, and so it wasn't the first time I had visited things like that, and though I think the more you do it, the less impact it has. So it was very cathartic.
Now, earlier you had mentioned that you started doing art. When did you start working on that?
Art in, like in my life.
Right. Yeah. Is it
Oh,
something that
that
you
was,
started at a very young age or?
yeah, it's really my first memories of school, kindergarten even, and it was just, and since then it's been magical. It's truly a gift, and so grateful that I have something like that to turn to, not only professionally but emotionally and spiritually, and it touches on all facets of my life.
Another way for you to kind of have a release is through your art.
Absolutely. It's because there's things that I feel living this life that are really hard to express in words, and so art, painting, sculpting allows me to create from a place that is wordless but feels like it needs to be done, because it comes from a place, Ken, when I'm creating, I don't know where, but it's like an urge that I have to do, I want to do, and so I'm truly blessed because I love what I do for work.
Now, talk to me about the style of art that you do.
It's, you know what? It's like trying to explain a new band to somebody. I try to just send the music and let the music do the talking, and it's really similar. It's, why would it be any different with art? It's really expressive, I would say. Very, very colorful. I'm addicted to color. Prior to my 40s, I really didn't do much painting, so I was colorless. I did just a lot of black and white and pencil stuff. And then when I was introduced by to color, really, by my mentor Bob Abbott, I've been just in a love affair with color since.
Now, how can people see your art and purchase it?
Oh, I have a website, marinovichart.com, and I have some things on there, and mainly it's they can contact me, and we can talk about if they have any ideas or want me to paint. So it's a way people can get in touch with me, and it's been fantastic.
Oh, great.
Great.
So, Lizzie, talk to me about the collaboration process that you had with Todd while working on this book.
Yeah, as Todd mentioned, the relationship goes back, further than when we started the book together. But when we started, putting kind of pen to paper, it was really more of a weekly process of Todd would share things very vividly, and his artistry and his view of the world is very colorful, and he was able to describe experiences in a very rich way. And then I would take what he would share with me and, create drafts, and we would kind of go back and forth on maybe things that either I took too much license with, or if we just needed to kind of paint a little bit more detail into the scenes. And we'd do that w weekly process for 9 months. And as Todd pointed out, some things were hard, right? Some things, that the football pieces flowed pretty easily because he had such remarkable success on the field, and some of those experiences were, back to this whole color concept, you know, when Todd described the 1990 Rose Bowl, he gave me the sounds, what he saw visually, the color contrasts, the just, you know, all of that richness. And that's exciting to be able to put that all on paper and bring the reader into that experience in a deeper way versus, I think, what you'd see in a traditional sports memoir is, you know, details play of the play, who juked which way, and, you know, how it all kind of the play came together. While that's in there, we spend a lot more energy and focus on the kind of sensory experience, because this is, you know, Todd's story has been told by a lot of people and a lot of outlets and a lot of media personalities, but seeing his world and his experiences through his eyes has been a missing part of the conversation for a long time. And that's why this is so important to do. People are seeing the world through Todd's eyes.
And I think that kind of ties into, you know, Todd being an artist as well.
Yes.
That, you know, whether it's painting a picture, doing a sculpture, you're trying to find a way to express yourself, express how you feel, express, you know, everything that's going on. So, I mean, it sounds like, you know, his artistry is what's really coming through when he's telling this story.
Yes. Yes. And the fact that so many details or even really important things that have been left out of their narrative. And I'll give you a good example. You know, the prevailing feelings out there has been that Todd was forced into football and his overbearing father kind of drove him and tormented him, right? That's just, it's could be further from the truth in terms of the arc of their relationship. You know, his father, of course, it was an intense training regimen, and we can get into that, especially, you know, given the focus of Ken, of your podcast. However, Todd's father in his later years became a sculptor, and they worked on art together. There's just so much more to the story than people know. And that's just one of 1,000 examples in the book where if people really knew and had more depth and knowledge, and, you know, that's on us to share, that they'd have, I think, some different, we've certainly had people come away and say, I had no idea. And thank you for sharing your story. So yeah, it's impactful for people to hear what was going on behind the scenes or what was missing from the conversation.
Yeah, so let's dive into that a little bit more. So you were very open about your relationship, Todd, with your father, Marv, and, you know, you talked about how the media wasn't accurate. I know, Lizzie, you talked about that as well, about, you know, people had their opinions of your father, but not that really wasn't true. So without revealing too much from the book, because I want people to buy your book, what was your relationship like with your father growing up, and how did it change over time? I know Lizzie started talking a little bit about it, but I'd like to hear from you, Todd.
Yeah, I think it was very, really important to me to, like Lizzie said, from my own perspective, how my dad and our relationship went. And it's one that every male can relate to. And they don't have to have a dad in athletics or was overbearing, maybe. But there are definite similarities that one can draw just by being a son or a dad. And it's a hard one. It was, I can't say, but the most rewarding one of them all. You know, he gave me so much of his time, which, as you know, I've gotten older, I realized now as a dad that's the most precious thing. Truly, if I can, you know, give of myself to my children as much as I can, time-wise, and be there fully present. And my dad was, and of course there were some down moments, but like any relationship, I knew he loved me because no matter what, he wasn't going anywhere. And that's the kind of firm, like, foundation of in a relationship that you can grow through. And that's what we did.
Now, you had mentioned it back at the beginning of the interview about the self-reflection that you go through, not only with writing this book, but previously when you were thinking about doing something like this. So what did you learn about yourself throughout this particular process with this book that you didn't know about yourself prior to writing this book?
Ooh, Good question, Ken. That it's okay to get old.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Right. And that's just a principle that I try to live by is if it's out of my control, let's not really concern myself with that. And that's one of them for sure. And I'm trying to be which is a practice, is more gentle with myself. And that's just with practice, I have winning days and ones that I don't do so well, but it's all in the effort and the awareness to know what areas I do need work on. And like I said before, I'm a work in progress, and it's a this life experience is something that is beyond words, and I'm just really doing the best I can, and I have a lot of life experience, and I thought it would be a crime if I didn't share some of what I've went through.
Now, for the people who did follow your career, what do you want them to learn about you by reading this book?
That I'm really human, and I've fallen under the of following somebody that I really admire, say a star, and you can get caught up in that they're larger than life, and that they're not going to fall and make mistakes. And so, just by my own experience, I've come to I'd like to share that it's okay. It's truly okay, and that's what I've been honest with my children to falter, and there are no mistakes. It's your perspective on how you look at them, and it's all a growing and learning experience, and there should be no sh guilt or shame revolving around any of that.
Taking a look at your career, you're a star athlete, you're a first round draft pick in the NFL, you've achieved what you worked so hard to achieve. Now, people have never struggled with any sort of addiction. They're not going to understand this. So I'm hoping, maybe there's some way that you can try to describe it to us, but how is the draw of drugs and alcohol outweigh focusing your efforts on being the best quarterback that you can be after working so hard to achieve this?
Yeah, that's describing something that I don't understand. Is almost impossible, Ken, because addiction, even though the ones that have it, like myself, trying to explain it to the one that it is not, it's super. I can't do it. However, it wasn't a question. In my mind, it wasn't. Th this was just something that I needed to do to survive, and it was part of my life in such a way that it was a no-brainer that I need this substance to deal with life, and it's something that I need to take like food and water and air.
And Ken, I would just add that, we like to think, well, maybe folks on who are listening might not know or have someone in their family that deals with addiction. The rates of addiction, and there are all sorts of forms to different things, but the last stat I saw was either 1 in 4 or 1 in 5. So I think we often fool ourselves that, well, I don't know an addict. Well, there's lots of different addictions, and they vary on a vast, spectrum. But the reality is we do, and we may just not understand or know.
It's seeking a connection, and it's an easy way, maybe obviously not the most healthy, but that's what the addict's trying to do is connect. But basically, the solution I believe to addiction is connection.
Yeah, I've been through my own struggles. So, I mean, I didn't, I guess, get to the point that you had, Todd, but I mean,
Sure.
I understand, what the addiction is like. Never really talked about it with anyone outside of my wife, so this is the first time it's going public. But yeah, it's something that it just consumes you. It takes over. You don't have control of it, no matter what you want to do. And, it's something you fight on a regular basis. And I know that you're probably going through the same thing that, you may have gone through recovery. It may have been a while since you've had any drugs or alcohol, but it's still a daily fight that you have to go through to make sure that it doesn't relapse to where you were before.
Absolutely. And you nailed it on daily. And that's how I have to do it. It's truly just about today. And when I do that, it's so easy with all that's going on in my life and people's lives to lose sight of that, because it's truly about today. Nobody knows about tomorrow. And if I can just lock into the moment, and I try to come from a place of from my heart rather than my head, and that is a winning combination.
Yeah, I definitely agree with everything you just said there. So let's change some topics here a little bit. What was it like playing for Art Shell with the Raiders?
It was a great, great experience. What a great man. Definitely, it seems to me, in my experience, the Hall of Fame players that I've had a chance and lucky enough to play with, and then like Art, I didn't play with, but I got to be a player for. It was ideal. And all of these guys are just really top-notch people. And Art was that. And it's great playing for a coach that was a player, because he knows. And he didn't keep us on the field too long like a lot of other situations I know. And he was just, you would say, a player's coach for sure.
And I think, Ken, one thing that we talk about in the book, and it was interesting for me to learn from Todd, is how far it goes back with Todd's father and coach Art Shell. Todd, maybe do you want to share a little about that? Because that's also something that people probably aren't aware of.
Yeah, he was Art was one of Marv's guys. And Marv, throughout his coaching career, always had his group of guys either that he found in a small college and worked out, and went back to Al Davis and said, this is a guy. And that's what, so Art was one of those guys who was always, always around the house, and would do anything for my dad and vice versa.
So I guess it was nice having that relationship, because I'm guessing you interacted with him a lot when he was over visiting with your father, that you've already established a relationship with him before you even got to the Raiders.
Exactly. And it's similar with Steve and Lizzie. And when there's a relationship known with the football tie, because of it's such a demanding and violent, and the whole kitchen sink, the game is that you're close with these people, no matter what era they came from. And I feel like it's family.
Yeah. And when you have that familial relationship with people, then it makes you want to work harder for them, makes you want to do more and put in more effort. So I can definitely see how having that relationship with Art prior to starting with the Raiders was definitely beneficial.
And I think it turned up as being comfortable enough to show up as Jimi Hendrix practice.
Speaking of music, in your book, you mentioned having a relationship with Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Talk to me about him. What's he like?
A ball of energy and good vibes. Oh, my goodness. He's one of those guys that you if he's in the room, it, and not in an obnoxious way. It's a way of I was drawn to Flea, and we just hit it off, and it was, what a fun time it was for me playing basketball, because he was a avid basketball fan and Laker fan, but he can play. And so he was giving me some bass lessons, and after that, we would go to his local court and run full court and play basketball, pickup games, and that was just glorious.
I can imagine that would be a great time, getting the bass lessons and playing basketball.
Right. Yeah. And from Flea, it was just really like a dream. Yeah. Great time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a bass player myself. So, you know,
oh, so you, yeah,
that's appreciate a... his skills.
Right.
So I know you've been doing some coaching as well. Are you still coaching?
I am. I'm not, I don't have a title. I'm not at the high school level. I'm teaching the younger kids anywhere from 9 up to high school, 13, 14. And I just love it. You know, it's I had been dabbling my whole, really my life, working with others because my dad was, that was his field. And so I'd help him out whenever he had a quarterback or a skilled position guy. And so, but I truly haven't, didn't grasp that I would enjoy it as much as I have recently. And, I, think it's something that I always want to do. And it's connecting with the younger generation, passing on what I've learned, and hopefully helping them have a little easier time. Not so hard as I did, because I think I can share that with them.
Now, Lizzie, what's the feedback been like so far for the book?
Oh, it has, I think, you know, the best way to describe it is it's blown us away. And, you know, it's kind of a couple different categories of folks. There's the people who followed Todd because of football, and their feedback is, I had no idea everything that was going on behind the scenes. And they have like almost even more appreciation for Todd's performance, given everything that was going on, what he was dealing with at home, in college, professionally. So that segment, and that's a huge segment of, you know, real kind of classic football fans. The others, so the artists who have read the book are so kind of grateful that Todd was willing to share so openly and so in such a raw way. And they really identify with his talents that extended far beyond the field, and really honor that and love those, that part of the story. And then you have folks that they either have family members or they themselves struggle with addiction. And that population, their feedback is so intense, I guess is the word, that they are so thankful that Todd's so honest. Because so many of these books, and I think we've got Charlie Sheen's coming out this week, and you know, other folks who have had challenges with addiction, they either run the victory lap or speak of it as if it's a past tense. And Todd doesn't do that. He is much more open and honest about how the struggle, you know, is an active struggle. And that population is so grateful for his honesty.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it's a daily struggle that you go through. There is no victory lap. It is not
right. Gone.
It's not done. It's not solved.
Right.
It's just something that, you know, you find better ways to deal with it.
Yeah.
But it's never gone.
Right. And I, you know, that takes guts to be that honest. And I think in today's world, you don't get that very often. And the people that do, boy, it's like, you know, it's water in the desert, because people crave that kind of identifying with things, connecting with people who are willing to expose themselves. That is just a special thing, that you take a guy like Todd, who's extraordinarily humble and extremely shy, and he's willing to go there. That's hard. And people honor that.
Now, Todd, how's it felt for you hearing all the feedback based off of this book?
Well, it's, I've had people contacting me prior to the book, which is always given me a sense of, and then after, obviously, lately, that it's all worth, it's all the struggle and pain and grief and all of the that I've experienced is worth it. And knowing that I've touched or affected someone in a way that really is meaningful to them, it's priceless, completely.
You know, Ken, I would add that even it was this morning, I got a message through our website, MarinovichBook.com, from a very well-known musician who actually played against Todd in Southern California and was just blown away by what Todd shared and how incredible it was to have someone be that open about, you know, the struggle.
That's great. I mean, the fact that it's connecting with people, it's resonating with people to the point where they want to reach out, and even if it's just to say thank you.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's priceless.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Todd. I mean, you've talked a lot about this throughout this interview, but outside of what you've already mentioned, what's life like for Todd Marinovich right now?
It is stable and very creative. And if I have the magic recipe for the day for me, it's doing stuff for other people. And when I'm in that mode, what can I do for you? Not about me. It's what can I do for you? My day is magical.
How do you think your Raiders are going to do this year? And what were your thoughts on the game against the Patriots yesterday?
I didn't get a chance to see it. However, I've been around Coach Carroll when he was at USC, and what talk about a player's coach. I would have loved to play for him, and I know when they hired him, they're gonna do well because he's done it everywhere he's gone, and so I'm confident, and I'm happy to see that he's there for sure.
All right, everyone needs to pick up a copy of the book. The title again is Marinovich: Outside the Lines in Football, Art, and Addiction. Todd and Lizzie, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ken. And folks can learn a whole lot more and see a lot of images of Todd over the years at MarinovichBook.com. So thanks again. Ken.
Thank you for listening to our interview with Todd Marinovich and Lizzie Wright. As we mentioned, you can purchase Todd and Lizzie's book titled Marinovich: Outside the Lines in Football, Art, and Addiction from MarinovichBook.com. Thank you for listening to the official Football Learning Academy podcast. To learn more about the Football Learning Academy, go to our website at www.football-learning-academy.com. Not only will you find links to our social media channels and a listing of all podcast episodes, but you'll find other fascinating interviews and classes. And an important note, a portion of all proceeds generated at the Football Learning Academy go to help retired players in need. That website again is www.football-learning-academy.com. Thank you for listening.
You did not see their faces on the Wheaties boxes, nor did they have the headlines, but they were breaking barriers, one pitch at a time. The integration of minor league baseball, a history and player register, 1946 to 1959, by Rick Swain and Gary C. Fink, shines a light on the overlooked heroes who paved the way for future legends. From dusty bus rides to hostile crowds, these players fought for a place in a game that did not want to see them win. More than history, it's a tribute to courage, perseverance, and the power of a game to change. Honor their legacy today and grab a copy of The Integration of Minor League Baseball at your favorite bookseller.